The undiscovered black country, the folks don't seem to know. The undiscovered black country, where everyone should go. People walk or cycle round, they pass the time of day. The undiscovered black country, as places tucked away.
Oh no. We get up early on a Saturday morning because there was a lot for us to do. And there were about 10 on we. And we'd it'd probably be about 7 o'clock, and you'd have your towel and them woolly trunks. You remember them woolly trunks that you used to sew your stripes onto and your badges? And by the time you had been in the baths for 5 minutes, they was halfway around your ankles and they weighed a ton. Well, you'd have your towel and that, and then you'd have enough money to go in the baths, enough money for a cup of Oxo and crackers, then enough money to go in the bug arse afterwards. So, we'd all meet at the top of the close, and them that wore there, we'd have to go knock them up. Sometimes Neenan wore ready, sometimes Edgy wore ready. So it'd take about 10 minutes, really, to get everybody ready. And you'd all got your own little towel and you'd all got your trunks up in the towel. And we'd walk down the bottom of the close along Ferndale Road, and then we'd go down the gully where it opened up at the bottom of Penrose by the barrel. And while we was down there, we used to do a recce. One of you get on somebody else's shoulders and they'd have a look, because you knew which houses had got apple trees in, so that there might be a chance on the road home to, like, bag a few apples, really. So anyway, you get to the barrel, and the barrel was the place where Dad and Uncle Bill and Uncle Eric used to sing on a Saturday night. Most Saturday nights they'd go down there. Uncle Eric would get on the Joanna. Uncle Bill and Dad would sing along with him, and they'd do things like Paper Moon and Moon River, a couple of the old stuff, and everybody just loved them. We wore sorts on the Leywood. There was never and again we could go in, but if they sung at the club down Ashes Road, then that was all right. We could go in and listen to them sing there. But you wore sorts on the Leywood, so sometimes we'd just stand like at the Atcher, the outdoer, and you could hear them singing, but it'd be rammed. Be like sardines. And the barrel was also the place where me dad, if he finished at Clark's labouring on a Saturday, or he was on the 2 till 10 shift, he'd always pop in for half, a quick half. And my mother said, "You've been in the barrel," and he'd go, "Oh, I've had a quick half." And he rode up. We'll cross the road and we're going towards Causeway Green. And we had to pick up Robert Ollick, because his dad owned the grocers there, Mr. Ollick, old the green grocers, and his missus, I can't remember now what the fashion shop was, but had like eye-class fashion. It was a bit weird for where it was, but I used to do all right. And Robert was a fantastic swimmer, but when he was young, he had polio, and he had them like calipers, and we'd like take him everywhere with us. You'd put him on his little trike, and you'd push him everywhere. And his father knowed, and his father was all right about it. And until he had the calipers off, obviously he had like weedy little legs. But then we'd take him swimming, and he'd swim and he'd swim and he'd swim and he'd swim. And he was a busting swimmer in the end. He was great. And he used to give us an apple or an orange or something like that. And they had the flat upstairs above the shop, and sometimes we used to go in the shop there. We'd tell the bloke at the chippy that we might be on a bag of batters on the road home, but normally we went on the one to the one opposite the cross in Langley, because he was a Greek bloke and he was nice. And we crossed the Wolverhampton Road, Hen and Chickens would be on the right-hand side. Again, that was the dance place. Our mother and father didn't go there very much, but I know folks that did, and also bands would play. Stevie Wynn would play there. When he was about 15, with the Spencer Davis group on the organ. And there were a local band called Little Acre. They were absolutely busting, I tell you. Fantastic band. Sort of soul, funk, rock. But again, we were too young to go in, so we used to like sit on the car park and just listen to them play. Going along Causeway Green Round, Mick the Barber's was on the right-hand side. Now, I used to have my hair cut at Mick the Barber's. He was an Irish bloke. Always looked scrub clean, you know what I mean? And he always used to cut your hair, like you'd say, I'll have this done, Mick, please. And then he'd just cut it like your dad had told him anyway. So he just cut it the way your dad had always told him to cut it. And then he'd spray that horrible God stuff all over your hair. Do you want some of this on? You go, nah, Mick. And then he'd spray it on anyway and stunk to high heaven. And then once we'd left Mick's, we'd usually go down to Tifford Lake. But of course, this is Saturday morning, so we ain't going there. So the 10 of us would then go walking along, probably jumping up and down the cab and kicking a tin can or something all the road along. We might pop in my uncle's. He was just off Farm Road. And it was great, really, because we could go in the uncle's in the one road and then go right to the end of the garden, over the wall, and then it was my other uncle's, the other side, I think the top of Bars Road. So we could go and see both my uncles. And there was a bloke in a barber shop there that was in his front, like his front room, same as Mick's. And he had one of them big foots, you know, them medical foots. And he'd clump in when he was coming. He used to frit me to death. When we had a few months at my granddad Dakin's, and when he used to take me down there, you'd hear him come clump, clump, clump on your little bloke. And you'd think, oh my God. Which is why I was great when we got up to Cakemore and I could use Mickey's. So down Causeway Green we'd go. We'd come up Joinings Bank, where all the posh houses were. There's no developments then when we used to go. So it was just all posh houses. And then round to your left and Langley Baths was there. And you'd pay for your ticket and go and get changed. And then you'd either go. It depends which attendant, really. They'd either, if you was only like a tot, they'd send you in the little baths and you had to sneak into the big baths. But if you, it was the right attendant and he knowed you'd swim and you just showed your stripes on your trunks, he'd say, keep down the little end, but you don't take any notice anyway. And there was these diving boards, like one springboard, I think, and then there was three different heighted concrete boards. And you'd get up onto the top one and you'd do bombs. Do you remember bombs or stars? Where bombs, you'd just launch yourself off the top, wouldn't you? And you'd crunch up like a little ball and then the attendant would whistle and go, stop making the bombs. All right, mate, you'd go and you'd carry on doing them. Stars was you'd like dive out and you'd make a star. So you was like flat in the middle of the air, and then as you hit the ground, you had to crunch yourself in so your face was covered up with your arms and your knees was right in, and then you'd splash that road. But we'd stay probably for about an hour, and then we'd all go and get changed, and we'd sit on the where the sights was, but on the non-sighted side, there was about three tiers, I think, where it was just like the concrete, and we'd get a cup of Oxo and some crackers. And we'd just dunk our crackers in the Oxo. And when we was warm then, because we was going to the Bug House now, the Regent, down the road, we'd make sure we got enough change, or if we hadn't got enough change, you know, everybody would muck in and you'd get your same. But what we could do sometimes, if we were a bit canny, two of we would go in the queue, pay, go in, and then they'd go down the bottom while it was dark and follow the usherette come round. And you'd push open, because there were no alarms or anything then. You'd push open the exit door and the rest of us would squedge in and all get in while it was dark. But we go down there. But on the left-hand side of how we got there was Parks' Suck Factory. And my nanny Dakin worked at Parks' Suck Factory. And her always used to wait at about, it'd be about 10 o'clock, because the matinee started about 11 usually, and I'd always wait by the gate, and I'd got this big plastic bag, and it was full of misshaped suck. So at Parks's, they made everything you'd want, like coal tubes, pineapple chunks, humbugs, Brazil nuts, licorice sticks, blackcurrant and licorice, anything you'd think of. But these misshapes were like, I don't know what you'd call them. They was like hybrids. Because you'd have an eclair, but it tasted like a blackcurrant and licorice. Or you'd have a pineapple chunk, but it had got chocolate in the middle. And I'll tell you what, Parks's made the best eclairs in the world. They were like little flying saucers, I can remember them. And they were wrapped in like a dark brown and black cover with Parks's eclair on in like gold writing. And they were absolutely busting. Better than Cadbury's, I tell you. Any road we collect them off me nan, and he'd be there with a like a rapping on and a fake. And years later, I used to say, because everybody smoked out there at work, there was no health and safety and no regulations or anything. So he used to say, you know, some of them stuff, them suck the ruggedja for Saturday matinee. He said, don't you know everybody used to smoke while they was sweeping around the vats, making the suck? So if there was any fake ash that, like, dropped off the edge, it just used to go in the vats and they used to stare at him with all the suck. So yeah, I was probably having half a woodbine or something while he was there. Anyway, got in the queue, did we? Went into the pictures. Usually went downstairs, right at the back, or not right at the back, because the snoggers, the cooting couples, used to go on the back, hadn't they? So a couple of rows from the back and we'd all be in line and the usherette had come and shone a torch on the... make sure you was all quiet and all that. And then, we'd pass out the suck and then the film would start and they usually had adverts, Pathé News, a B-movie. Sometimes if it was somebody's birthday or if there was a competition, some bloke could come out and you'd have one of them big boards where you used to follow the song and stuff like that. And if it was your birthday, they'd give you some chocolates or something. And then you had the main picture, which things like Flash Gordon, Lone Ranger, Zorro. And it was absolutely fantastic. You'd been there from 10:30, 11 o'clock, till about 1 o'clock. And you'd just be taken off on the journey, watching all these different things. And you just think now, you just get like a few adverts, a few trailers, and then the main picture, don't you? But then you had two pictures and they was both good. They used to call them B-movies. But they were really, they had like proper stars in and stuff like that. And films like Lassie and stuff like that. And then you'd have the main one with things like Victor Mature and Barabbas and what's his face? Not Michael. Kirk Douglas in Spartacus and stuff like that. So it was, and we'd have a laugh and we'd be like chucking suck at folks. And then, of course, halfway through, when you'd finished the B-movie, the little light went on a torch and it come down and it had all them like chock ices and tubs and ice cream and it'd go up the corner. Well, there were two of them. They'd go up each corner, wouldn't they? And then they'd go, ice cream. And if you got any change left, which we probably hadn't, you'd go and get a chock ice or... If there was enough between three or four of you, you'd get a tub and then you'd ask for extra spoons and then you'd just share the tub between you. It was just great. Any road, we'd come out and it'd be about 12:30, maybe. And we'd walk down across the track that goes to Langley Green. Sometimes we'd just wait there until a train come, because we just loved the trains going past towards Langley Green, towards Brummagem. I think they come down the Raleigh-Stourbridge line, so it'd be like Stourbridge and Raleigh Regis and Langley, and then they'd go on to Brummagem. And we'd sometimes stop there, and then we'd walk into Langley, and I've told you about it before, all Brighton Wilson's, where the grey smoke had come over the wall, and my grandad had told me it was from all the dead souls that had been jetted in the phosphorus pits there. And we'd probably say hello to my uncle, who was a chauffeur, and he lived in the flat above the lanes in Langley. Probably say hello to him because he'd be probably polishing the jag or something on a Saturday dinner time. And then we'd walk up Langley High Street, past the park, over Uncle Ben's bridge. We'd come through the gully, and I don't know who the football pitch was, but there was a football pitch up this gully that was the back of Causeway Green. And many, many, many years ago, we won a cup there. I think we played Rood End, eh, sure? I think it was Rood End. Might have been Moat Farm, but it was like the Borough Cup. And we'd won the league. We'd won every game in the league. We hadn't lost a game. And we'd scored something like 280 goals and about seven against. And I was an inside forward then. And I think I scored about 126 goals. It was going in left, right and centre. But that football pitch is where we played the final. And I've got an article out of the then Albury News Telephone with a picture on the team. And I know Andy Coghill was in the other team. And sometimes I try to remember you know, all of the players, because most of them was, I know Edgy was in it, and Princey was in it, and Mickey O'Leary was in it, Loz was in it, David Price was in it, Snowy? Tommy Whitmore was in it. There was loads of folks in it that lived on the estate. It was great to see. Now and again, I get the photo out and have a look at it. Anyway, we come out of the gully, and Bob Joyners was on the left, and he used to sell bikes, like motorbikes and stuff like that. And there was another bloke who used to sell motorbikes, local, Swallow, and Tom Swallow, his son, would be the Yed, like the Yed boy when I went up to the grammar school. And you just day picture him and his father being into like motorbikes and all greasy and that, because he was a really, really posh kid, really, really lovely. And then rather than turn right and go back along Causeway Green back towards the barrel, we'd go left all the road back, and then we'd go in the shop opposite the cross, and he'd knowed we were coming, and again we'd try it on, wouldn't we? There'd be two on, and we'd go in and we'd go, "Excuse me, mate, have you got any batters?" And he'd look up and he'd go, "How many?" And we'd go, "Is this a two-on-way?" And he'd go, "How many?" And I'd go, "Well, it's 10. And he'd say, "Come in." And he'd make them like, you know, when you could have a cone of chips, he'd make them cones, and then he'd scrape the bottom of where he'd fried all the fish and the chips and everything. And he'd bung some batters in every bag. And if there was any chips left in there, because it was round about closing time really for dinner, and then he'd open again later on, he'd just bung a few chips in, and then you'd mush it with salt and vinegar, wouldn't you? And then we'd be going along Causeway Green Road, eating all of these. And if we got time, because most of us played on a Saturday afternoon on Lion Farm for Lion Farm Colts with Eddie Lusty's team. But if we got time, we'd turn up Farm Road, turn up towards Farm Road, and there was an opening to the bottom of Barnford Park, and we'd just go up the back of Barnford Park, have a look, see if there was a bowls game on, or who was on the pitch and putt, or who was on the tennis court. We'd climb up Pudding Rock and then go right the way up to Bunny Hill. Take sort of the gully, it wore a gully, but it was like a track along the back that come out of Pound Road next to the Tech. And then if we turned right, there was like a field. There's houses there now, but there was a field there. And we'd go cut across the field, and it was the top on the hostel. And we'd just walk back slow across the hostel looking for fossils in the ground. And by the time we got round to Brook Road, the off licence was open. And if we got any change left, we'd just put all of the change on the counter, and we'd say to Mr. Granger, "Mr. Granger, how many blackjacks can we have for this?" And he'd have a look, and we could probably have about three or some blackjacks between 10 and we. And he'd just get on, and he'd go, "Here now, bugger off, you lot." And then we'd get back home, chuck our trunks and our towels in the wash, ready to be washed. It wore like a washing machine. You had to put them in like the maiden tub ready. And then when mother come on Mondays to wash, she'd have to fill it with boiling water. And then I'd made everything for ages and ages and ages and ages. And then you'd have to put it through the mangle, and then I'd hang them out. So we just used to leave all the trunks there. And then we'd see what time it was. If it was 1 o'clock maybe, 1:30, we knew that we hadn't got to get there till 3. So we'd get they'd all come to our house, and we'd get a loaf of bread, and we'd toast a loaf of bread, and we'd sit there reading our comics that we'd got from Barclays, and we'd eat a loaf of bread between me, and our father would pop in, and he'd come from labouring at Clark's, and he's going, "I've got to go and get some bloody bread now. We got no bread for supper. You young lads have ate the bloody bread." And he'd only be laughing, but he'd have to go and get a loaf of bread while mother was round Julie having the mould done with me aunties. And the mould was where they all went, me aunties, and they had the same hairstyle, went under the drawers, 6 on them, and when they come out, Julie sprayed it with something, and it was rock hard, and that was the mould. They all had the same style and haircut, and then immediately they'd be done, they put a scarf on, and he never sits again for a week. Funny, ain't? So we'd have our toast, and we'd probably have half an hour then, and then think about walking over to Lion Farm for the football game. But that was our Saturday morning, nearly every Saturday morning. And looking back, what a busting time it was for a bunch of kids, really. I think of my granddaughter, and it's like, up, watch the telly, might do a bit of shopping, on a tablet, play a game, do this. I might go to ballet lessons on a Saturday. But but for us, it was like, unmade. We had to make all of it happen. And all we needed was about, a shilling, 1 and 6. And that was our entertainment for all Saturday morning, well, till Saturday afternoon. What an absolutely busting time, eh? Fantastic.
The undiscovered black country, the folks don't seem to know. The undiscovered black country, where everyone should go. People walk or cycle round, they pass the time of day. The undiscovered black country has places tough.